Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. Now, as I welcome you all to this episode, I am staying excited because we're still in the first book of Kings. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Now, as the theme song for this show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. For where your heart is, your treasure will be also. That's taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Now, the promise is that your treasures will be laid up in heaven for you if you focus on that. And that is what you should be aiming for. Jesus said again, for a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by their own fruit. That's taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 43 and 44. The blessing is that the good fruit is what you want to produce. And if you are following the commandments of Jesus Christ, then you will produce that good fruit, and it will be profitable for you this side of eternity. Jesus said again, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And that's taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 40. So again, the blessing, or the promise, I should say, is that if you do as Jesus Christ does, then you will be as he is, and your perfection will be displayed in how you perform in this side of eternity. So the question again for this hour is, my precious brothers and sisters, are you standing on Jesus' promises? Now, before we get started, I'm going to reiterate for you, as I always do, about the mysteries of the Bible. We know that the Bible is written in code. And again, that could be mysteries, secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, or symbols, and others. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. And that is what we're doing tonight, as we always do, study and learn together. And that's critical, my brothers and sisters. That's how we break this code. Let's get to the study. We're in 1 Kings. Turn your Bible sources to chapter 19. We're looking at verse 12 through 18. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12 through 18. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction as I read the text to you. This is what I want you to get from the text that I read. The small, still voice said to Elijah. This is what the text says. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire is a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehud the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, thou shalt anoint to be a prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehud slay, and him that escaped from the sword of Jehud shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which thou have not bowed, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So that is what the small voice said to Elijah. And what we're going to do is go to Acts chapter 22. Turn your Bible sources with me to Acts chapter 22, and we're going to see what the compliment has to say as comparing this voice that Elijah heard, and we're going to hear what Paul heard. This is Acts chapter 22, verse 6 through 10. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell upon the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. So that is the voice, and of course we know that was the voice of Jesus. In the other instance, the voice that Elijah heard was the voice of God. And what is significant for you to understand is that we should, in times especially of conflict, we should be still and be quiet and listen for an inner urge or inspiration that can help us get out of what it is that is confronting us. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, turn back with me to 1 Kings, and I see we're at our first break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with our lesson.
Elijah was on the run. After he had killed the wicked prophets of Baal, the evil Queen Jezebel threatened to kill him for all that he had done. King Ahab and Jezebel had wiped out all the other prophets. Elijah was the only one left, so it's safe to say that this was not an empty threat on Jezebel's part. Elijah had called it quits. He ran for his life. He left everyone and everything behind. He eventually came to a broom tree that was all by itself, just like he was. He lay down underneath it and prayed and asked God to take his life, but there was no reply. After Elijah finished praying, he lay down under the broom tree and went to sleep. As he was sleeping, an angel appeared to him and shook him awake. "Get up and eat," the angel said. Elijah looked around, and right beside his head was some nice warm bread baked on hot stones and a jar full of water. So Elijah did what the angel said. He ate some bread, drank some water, and then he lay back down. But the angel shook him again and told him to eat more, because Elijah had a long journey ahead of him, and he would surely need the strength. So Elijah ate and drank some more. Elijah went on to travel for 40 days and nights to a place called Mount Sinai, where he found a nice cave to spend the night. While he was there, the Lord said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah started talking about how he had served God faithfully. But the people of Israel had done the exact opposite. They were tearing down God's altars and had killed all of God's other prophets. And now they were trying to kill him. God told Elijah to go out onto the mountain and stand before him. Once Elijah was there, standing on the mountain, God passed by him. Suddenly, there was a huge windstorm that hit the mountain. The wind was so strong that it tore rocks right off the side of the mountain. But God wasn't in the wind. Then there was an earthquake. Elijah held on tight as the ground shook. Once it finished, he realized that God wasn't in the earthquake either. After the earthquake, a fire began to blaze around Elijah. But God wasn't in the fire either. That's when Elijah heard it, the sound of a gentle whisper. Elijah quickly wrapped his cloak around his face because he knew that this was God. Elijah stood before God on the mountain, and God asked him again, "What are you doing here?" Elijah's response was the same. He told God about his concerns again. Then God gave him a plan. He told Elijah to go and anoint a new king and a new prophet to take his place. So Elijah went out and found Elisha. King Ahab and Queen Jezebel never were able to kill Elijah. In fact, Elijah never actually died. God brought him directly into heaven, but that's a different story for another time. The end.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, as our commercial was just indicating, we got an overview of Elijah and his exploits. Now we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 through 21, and I want you to pay attention to this particular instruction as I read the text to you. Elisha allowed to kiss his mother and father before he followed Elijah. Remember, as I read, that in the last instruction, Elijah anointed Elisha to take his place. And now we're going to see what the text says about Elisha being allowed to kiss his mother and father before he received the anointing and started doing the work that Elisha gave up because he ended up going to heaven. Let's look at what 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 through 21 says. So he departed thence, Elijah did, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he went with the 12th, and Elisha passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62, and we're going to see how similarly, but the difference is that Jesus, he also is instructing us as Elijah was instructed Elisha to follow him. Jesus is telling us to follow him, but Jesus' instruction is, you might say, more or harsher than Elijah's instructions, meaning Elijah allowed Elisha to go back and kiss his mother and father. But Jesus tells us this. Listen to what he said in Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. This is what Jesus said. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And Jesus said unto, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go and thou and preach the gospel to the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home, at my home. And listen to what Jesus told him. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So, my brothers and sisters, in this instance, we have given up our allegiance to Jesus Christ. And we should ensure that we don't put off till tomorrow what we should be doing today. That is what the instruction is telling us, that we should respond immediately to Christ. And the other things that are in our lives, we do have to let go. Jesus said in another gospel, follow me. You must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. And that is very strict, but that is the way that Jesus is ordering us to respond to him as his priests and followers. Let's go to the next instruction. Turn back again with me. We're going to go to Kings chapter 20 this time, and we're going to take several verses out of Kings chapter 20. And what I want you to do is listen to this instruction and keep this instruction in mind as I read the text to you. God helps Ahab defeat Ben-Hadad. And what I'm doing, again, I'll remind you that I'm going from chapter to chapter, and in each chapter I take one instruction per chapter. And in this instance, the book of Kings is telling us about Ahab's exploits with King Ben-Hadad. And so this is what it says in 1 Kings chapter 20. It says in verse 1, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all of his hosts together. And there were 30 and two kings with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. Verse 13 continues the thought by saying, and behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, the king of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thy hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And verse 21 continues the thought. It says in 21, and the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And verse 28 gives us the concluding thought. And there came a man of God and spake unto king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys, therefore will I deliver all this great multitude unto thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So we can see that God is the one that helped Ahab defeat his foe. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at how through faith, which is in God, like Ahab had in God, how you can overcome things that confront you. We're going to be reading verse 27 through verse 31. Verse 27, verse 31. Listen to what Hebrews says about God in helping us through faith. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Again, this is faith in God. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he destroy the firstborn, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. I see we're at the second break. Let's take the second break, and then we will continue with the lesson.
God told the prophet Elijah to find a man named Elisha. Elisha would be a prophet to Israel after Elijah. So Elijah obeyed God. He found Elisha plowing a field, and Elisha followed Elijah and served him. When the time came for the Lord to take Elijah up to heaven, Elijah and Elisha traveled to Gilgal. At Gilgal, Elijah said, Elisha, stay here. The Lord is sending me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as long as you are alive, I will not leave you. So they went together to Bethel. At Bethel, Elijah said, Elisha, stay here. The Lord is sending me to Jericho. But Elisha said, as long as you are alive, I will not leave you. So they went together to Jericho. At Jericho, Elijah said, Elisha, stay here. The Lord is sending me to the Jordan River. But Elisha said, as long as you are alive, I will not leave you. So they went together to the Jordan River. A crowd of prophets watched Elijah and Elisha as they stood by the river. Elijah rolled up his cloak and hit the water with it. The river parted and they crossed to the other side. Elijah asked, is there anything I can do for you before I go? Elisha said, I want a double portion of the Spirit that you have. Elijah said, if you see me go, you will have it. Suddenly, a chariot of fire with horses of fire appeared and drove between them. Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha watched as Elijah went away. Then he picked up Elijah's cloak and went back to the river. He hit the water and it parted for him to cross to the other side just as it had for Elijah. The crowd of prophets was there watching, and they saw that the spirit that was with Elijah was now with Elisha. The prophets searched for Elijah, but they could not find him since God had taken him up to heaven.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, as we were looking at God helping Ahab to defeat Ben-Hadad, well, now we're looking at the New Testament compliment showing how God, that we, through the faith in God, will help us overcome whatever it is confronting us. And this is what verse 27 through 31 was talking about, and we stopped at verse 29, so we'll continue there. By faith in God, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they were compassed about 7 days. And again, by faith in God, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. So all of this is telling us, in fact, as you continue, it'll say, and what shall I say more? For the time should fail me not to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel, of the prophets, all of these who through faith in God subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Now, this is to attest that God will provide for those who are a part of his godliness. That's what I want you to get from this. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back your Bible sources to 1 Kings chapter 20. Again, we're going to look at verse 35. Through 37, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. A paradoxical prophecy. This is confusing, but I'm going to enlighten concerning it. I think it's pertinent to the scheme of the story. This, I want you to keep in mind, a paradoxical prophecy. This is the prophecy, and it's 1 Kings, verse 20, and it is chapter 20, verse 35 through 37, and it says, "And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor, In the word of the Lord, smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. Then said he unto him, Because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him." Now, the reason I say this is, you know, paradoxical is because it's confusing that just because the prophet said to the man to slay him, that when he didn't slay him, he was slain because he didn't obey that command or that prophecy. And it's sort of confusing. But what I'm going to do is now take you to the book of Romans. Turn with me to the book of Romans. We're going to see in this instance, it's not a prophecy, but it's paradoxical, meaning that Paul is going to explain to us about sin and how it ravishes the body. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, and it's verse 15 through 20. This is what Paul says, Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 20. He says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. My brothers and sisters, that is paradoxical. And what Paul is telling us, that sin has control over our lives. And as the other paradoxical prophecy, if God says it's to be done, then it has to be done. And it's paradoxical because the other person that did not obey, they were told that God said that this is what they should do, but they did not do it. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will. We're going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 38 through 43, and we're going to get a little more information on being obedient and disobedient to what God says. And this is, again, following the storyline. I'm going chapter by chapter, taking out one instruction per chapter. Listen to what 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 38 through 43 says, and this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read it to you. Ahab judged by God for his disobedience. And this is what it said. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king and said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or as else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as the servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself hath decided it. And he hasted and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. So from the last instruction, when I claimed that it was a paradoxical prophecy, that is what the prophecy ended up meaning to King Ahab, that because King Ahab disobeyed, he took the penalty or the condemnation for disobedience. Now, turn with me, if you will. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to see this compliment, how, again, this plays out in the same type of scenario, but it is a parable that Jesus is giving us to how plays out. And I see we're at our next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the study.
So it isn't sin that torments. It is the guilt, the weight, the burden, a sin of being wrong, of having wronged someone, of having mistreated someone, of having stolen from someone, lied on them, or betrayed them. It is not the sin, it is the guilt, the aftermath, the fleeting thoughts, the struggling of a tormented soul, wrestling with your behavior and struggling with your choices. The guilt of sin. If this woman was tormented, she wasn't tormented by sin itself, but the guilt of sin. Now, if sin has guilt, and we have all sinned, I think, then it's safe to assume that we have all had guilt. Guilt has torment. Guilt has pain. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Has driven people to liquor bottles. It's driven people to stick needles in their arms. It's driven some people to put a gun to their head because they could not live with the guilt of sin. Not just sin. The guilt of abandoning children, the guilt of giving a child away, the guilt of abortion, the guilt of lying, cheating, the guilt of destroying a life, the guilt of infecting a person, the guilt of betraying a confidence, the guilt of breaking a heart, the guilt of destroying a life. It's not that you don't go on. You can go on because you're tough, you're strong. You're relentless. Strengthen your back, hold your head up, you're riding above it. But nobody knows the weight of guilt. Comes out in our behavior, comes out in our temper tantrums, comes out in our hostility, comes out in our pride, comes out in our arrogance. And beneath all of these trappings, down at the root, there's guilt.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, listen. We're looking at Ahab, judged by God for his disobedience. We already read how the prophet condemned him with the prophecy. Now we're going to look at our New Testament complement. We're looking at Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 21, listen, and this is what Jesus gave in a parable, how this is what happens when you disobey God. It starts off, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2. And to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained 2 others. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Then we're going to go to verse 24. It says, then he that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Verse 26 continues his thought. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. And verse 30 completes the thought. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So that tells you that with disobedience to God, the condemnation, the penalty, could end up being death. Okay, let's go back to our next instruction. We're going to look at Kings chapter 21, verse 1 through 10. And my precious brothers and sisters, as I read the text to you, look what I want you to do. I want you to keep in mind this instruction. Naboth killed because of Ahab. Now we're going to see how this occurred and why it occurred. Chapter 21, verse 1 through 10. Listen to what the Bible says. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, guarded by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, and or it seems good to thee. I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid to me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would not eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake with Naboth, the Jezreelite, and he said unto me, give me thy vineyard. And I said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. So that is how Naboth died. Now, let's go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me to Acts. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse 1 and 2 in Acts chapter 9. And this illustration of Acts chapter 9 is going to show where Paul, before he was called Paul, his name was Saul, how he did similar to the children of Israel. The not children of Israel, but he did to Jesus' disciples, similar. Now, he did not physically kill anyone, but he did put them in prison. And this is what it says in chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And so the way is what the followers of Jesus Christ were called before Antioch. If you remember in the book of Acts, it says at Antioch is when they first were called Christians. So before they were called Christians, they were called the Way. And you can see where Paul did similar to what Jezebel did. He didn't personally kill anyone, but he had a letter from those in authority to have them arrested where they could be thrown into jail and be killed. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to 1 Kings chapter 21. And I see we're at our last break. Let's take that last break, and then we will complete the lesson.
Once there was a wealthy man preparing to leave on a long journey. He gathered his servants together and gave careful instructions on what to do while he was away. "I will be leaving you shortly and may not return for quite some time," he explained to them. "I am putting you in charge of my wealth so that my estate will continue to prosper even while I am away." So the master divided his wealth among his servants based on each one's ability to manage it. The first servant was given 5 talents. Each talent was equal to thousands of dollars. This servant took the sum of money given to him, and he immediately went to work, using what he was given to make more money. He knew this would please the master. His efforts produced 5 more talents. The second servant was given 2 talents, not as much as was given the first servant, but still a great deal of money. This servant took what was given to him and, like the first servant, dutifully invested it to make more money. He, too, knew this would please the master. His efforts produced 2 more talents. The third servant was given 1 talent, less than the other servants, but still a good amount of money. This servant failed to see the value in the opportunity that the master had given him, and fearing any risk to it, promptly went out and dug a hole and buried it in the ground. Many days, weeks, and months passed, and finally the master returned. Eager to find out the condition of his property and wealth, he called his servants together to hear what they had done with what he had given them to manage. Each servant approached the master to give their report. The first 2 servants proudly showed their master that they had doubled what he had given them. The master smiled. "Well done, my good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a few things. I will now put you in charge of many things." He added, "Come and let us celebrate." Then the last servant, who had been trusted with 1 talent, approached the master and accused him, saying, "You are a hard man to please. So in fear of you, I buried the money you gave me into the ground. here is the one talent that belongs to you. The master was furious. You wicked and lazy servant, he said. I gave you an amount of property I knew you would be able to manage, but you did nothing with it. At least you could have put it in the bank to earn a small amount of interest. Now, you will lose your talent to the servant who gained five. With that, the master took the only talent the servant had and cast him out of his household forever.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with the saga of Ahab and Jezebel. We're at 1 Kings chapter 21, and we're going to be looking at verse 17 through 19. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the, before I read the text to you. Ahab and Jezebel, condemned by God for having Naboth killed. Okay, this is 1 Kings chapter 21. Listen to what it says. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Then it completes with the thought in 23. It says, And of Jezebel also speak the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. So you can hear the condemnation for what they did to Naboth. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 9 again, and we're just going to follow more of what Paul was involved in. We're going to see what the Lord said to Paul. We're going to look at Acts chapter 9, and we're going to do verse 3 through 6. Listen to what happened to Paul. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling, meaning Paul, and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, the difference being, in this instance, we know that Ahab and Jezebel were, in the Old Testament, did not obey God and committed murder. In the New Testament, this is Paul, who, even though he wreaked havoc with with Jesus' followers, Jesus decided to cause Paul to be one of his major disciples. So that's the difference in the two. But the condemnation, again, Paul was still condemned for what he had done the people to the disciples of Jesus. But he was Jesus called him his special vessel that would go to the Gentiles. So that's what is the major difference between the two. But I connected the condemnation as the key from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And, of course, there may be a better connection or complement in the New Testament, but I chose the one with Paul to keep it consistent. Okay, Let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 21 again, and we're going to look at two verses, verse 28 and verse 29. And what I want you to do as I read the two text verses to you, this is what I want you to keep in mind. Ahab's condemnation reduced by God because of his humility. So this is what God did for Ahab. Verse 21, or chapter 21, verse 28 and 29. This is what it says. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to Elisha the Tishbite, and saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evils in his days, but in his son's days will I bring evil upon his house." So that is what happened. And, of course, it says, if you want the full text, it begins with verse 25, and it says, "But there was none like unto Ahab, which did not fill himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and laid in sackcloth and so." Again, Ahab not being the culprit per se, he has been given leniency by God. And that is what we're looking at. And so now we're going to go back again to Acts chapter 9, and the same with Paul. We realize that Paul, being condemned, he still, being God, Jesus' special vessel, he received reprieve. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 9, verse 8 and 9, beginning. It says, "And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink." And then verse 17 through 20 completes the thought. "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that is the Son of God, that he was the Son of the living God." So that is the last instruction for this evening. And before we dismiss, what I'd like to do is bring to your attention that we appreciate the support that we're getting from you, the listeners, and we thank you, and we bless you for your participation and encouragement as we sign off. And as I say good night to all of our listeners, remember what Jesus says: "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." God bless and good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.